Very famous Mishnah, Kachi Darka Shel Torah. This is the Derech of Torah. Paspa Melech Tochel, Mayim B'Mesura Tishte, Aho Aretz Tishon, V'chai Tzar Tichye, U'batorah Ato Omel. The Derech of Torah is that a person eats bread with salt, he drinks a small amount, a small measure of water, sleeps on the floor, lives a life of Tzar, but Betorah ato amel, and he pushes himself. He works very hard. He toils in Torah. Imata osakin. If you do this, ashrecha betovloch, ashrecha bolam hazeh, betovloch leolam haba. So, what is this Mishnah coming to teach us? It sounds very extreme. It sounds that a person really has to give up all physical pleasure at all. Really live an ascetic lifestyle. So one could explain the Mishnah on that level, that a person has to give up everything in order to really dedicate themselves to the Torah. And even if they have steak waiting for them at the table, they shouldn't eat it in order to deprive themselves of physicality because, and the Maharal explains, that physicality and spirituality work they have an inverse relationship. When Rome is strong, Yerushalayim is weak. When Yerushalayim is strong, Rome is weak. Within a person, when physicality reigns, so spirituality does not have room. And when spirituality reigns, so then there's no room for physicality. And that is the most literal way to read the Mishnah, which obviously is a formula for a very extreme lifestyle. Many other Mefarshim explain, and really if you look through the Mefarshim, most of them explain it in the following way. Not that a person has to eat bread. Not that a person has to get by only on water. But that a person has to be willing to. Torah has to be so important that if they have steak, that's great. But if they would only have bread, they would also be just as dedicated and focused on learning, meaning that the Torah is the ikkar. Their food is completely secondary. And therefore, if they have it, it's great. If they don't have it, so they're able to get by without it. Some people are only able to learn when the air conditioning is set. They say about Rav Moshe Feinstein that he never wanted to learn in an air-conditioned room because he said that once I get used to it, what's going to happen when I don't have air conditioning? I won't be able to learn. So I don't know the truth of the story, but the point is 100% true. You have people that if they don't have a big breakfast and they don't have a comfortable chair and they don't have good air conditioning, so they're not able to learn, they're not able to function. And that might be what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. It's trying to teach us that we have to be willing to forego luxuries in order to really grow in Torah. In the Tveris Yisrael, he spins it a little bit. He almost understands these things as reflective of what the beginning relationship with Torah is. If you go back to the first Mishnah in the Perek, so the first Mishnah speaks about how great it is to be a Talmud Chacham and to learn Torah Lishma. And there are all these great things that you're going to be, Nikra Reya and Ohuv. And this Mishnah comes and tells us, yeah, but you realize that the Darka Shel Torah doesn't mean what's reflective of a Torah life. It means what's the path? How does it begin? It begins with very humble beginnings. The end is very, very rewarding. But the beginning is a very, very humble path. There, no matter how you interpret this Mishnah, a point that certainly needs to be stressed is that, again, whether the Mishnah is telling us that we should live a completely austere lifestyle and not really have any physicality more than what we need, that would be the extreme way of reading the Mishnah. Or if it means that we have to have our priorities straight and we have to be willing to sacrifice for Torah when we need to, because everyone will have to. Sometimes you're tired and you have to be willing to push yourself, and sometimes you're hungry and you have to be willing to push yourself. That's the dedication that's being demanded by this Mishnah. No matter what, though, and clearly there's a difference here in terms of how we look at physicality, but even when we take the more positive approach towards physicality, you know, they say that when you're in yeshiva, you need to eat well and sleep well. That's what we're saying. You have to eat well and sleep well. And I always try to tell the guys in Shir that eat, sleep, have your strength. First of all, so that the Torah learning is an enjoyable experience, but also so that you have your strength to be able to learn. They say, this is what I was about to quote a minute ago, what they say that Rav Elchanan Wasserman used to shut off the lights in Baranovich at a relatively early time. And when the Talmidim complained and said, you know, we're never going to become big Talmidei Chachamim, you didn't go to sleep this early when you were in yeshiva. So his response was that when he was in yeshiva, there was enough money that he was able to have a chicken every single day. He ate a whole chicken every day. He said, so I ate so well that I was able to get by with less sleep. He said, unfortunately, we don't have much money and we don't have much food. And therefore, if we're not going to get our strength from eating, so we need to have a lot of sleep. I think I quoted to you guys already that Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes in one of his Sfarim, he writes that a yeshiva bachur should be sleeping 7 hours a night. Most yeshiva bacharim need 7 hours. There are a few that can get by on six, and an equal number that require eight. But the overwhelming majority needs seven. And you know what? If you get less than that, it's bittul Torah in the echus, in the quality of learning. Be all that as it may, everyone's going to agree, though, that indulging in luxury is really at odds with a life that's pursuing Torah. You know, there's eating bread and water. But then there's going to the Chadar Ochel and having the meal that's being served and getting back to the base medrash or taking care of you. If you need to exercise, exercising, whatever you need to do. But you sometimes have guys in yeshiva, and I understand psychologically it's sometimes necessary, especially in the first year when you're trying to get used to the schedule and all of the learning. But, you know, if you sit there preparing, you know, you marinate your meat and then you grill it and then you bake your bread and then, you know, you squeeze tomatoes in order to make homemade ketchup. You know, you could spend hours and hours preparing food and you won't have time for learning. So, you know, you can run to Modi'in every single night to try to get, to try to go out for dinner and the ride there and the ride back. And so then you're not going to become a big Talmud Chacham if you're always, you know, again, in the beginning, sometimes it might be necessary, but you're not going to become a Talmud Chacham if that's always your life, is that there's a real focus and almost obsession or, you know, when a person's so overly focused on physicality. There's an amazing Sforno, the Sforno and Hazinu, on Vayishman Yeshur and Vayivat. So he says there that the Baalei Iyun, Talmidei Chachamim, if they're indulging in physicality, they're also not going to be sharp to understand the Dakus Ha'iyun in learning. That there's some type of effect that an overindulgence in physicality has on a person, and prevents them even from understanding Torah properly, which is a very interesting perspective. And I think we should end discussing this Mishnah with just reading a very important Rambam. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Gimel. You have to remember, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Aleph, outlines for us, and also in the fourth Perek of Shmona Prakim. So the Rambam famously outlines for us the Shvil Azov, the Derech HaMemutza. And the Rambam famously is known for always advocating for a person to take a balanced middle approach, not to be an extremist. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos and there in Shmona Prakim speaks about the Nazir, and how the Nazir, one of the reasons he has to bring a Karban Chatos is because he chose an extreme existence. And that's a Chot Al HaNefesh, that's a sin against yourself when you do such a thing. So the Rambam is certainly not into extremism. And at the same time, if you look in Hilchos Talmud Torah, so the Rambam says as follows. Second, let me just flip to Hilchos Talmud Torah. Perek Gimel, the Rambam says like this. Ein divrei Torah miskaimen b'mi shemarapa atzmo aleihen. V'lo be'elu shalomdim mitich idun mitoch achilu v'shtia. You're not going to be zocher to Torah if you learn, you know, from a context of over leisure, of idun, achil and shtia. If you're sitting there, you know, reclining with your feet up, drinking your iced coffee while you're trying to learn, rather el b'mi shememis atzmo aleim umitzayir gufo tamid lo yitein sheino le'enav ulapav tenuma. He doesn't give sleep to his eyes. Now he just painted two extremes. On the one extreme is someone who overindulges in physicality mitoch idun mitoch achil and shtia. He says, rather, you need to be mitzar gufo tamid, lo yitein sheina le'enav. So there's a little bit of a range here, perhaps, that the Rambam is allowing. Maybe the ultimate, the Rambam is suggesting, has to really be willing to push himself. Sleep, in terms of sleep and in terms of food consumption.
But this Rambam has to be understood on, within the context of what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos about the middle path. So I think that's just an interesting Ma'ar Mokum to consider. But here the Rambam certainly quotes the Mishnah that we just made reference to. He goes on and he says, this is what Chazal learn. Derech remez, zosa Torah, adam ki yomus boel, ena Torah miskemes, elbe mi shemein misatzmo be'ole at tzadikim. Okay, so Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we will start a new Mishnah.